And turn with me, if you will, to the New Testament book of Colossians, chapter 2, beginning at verse 6. We are reading today from the New King James Version, and our entire scripture lesson text can be found on the insert in your bulletin and on page 681 of your pew Bible. And as you turn to Colossians chapter 2, recall with me Psalm number 1, which says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." If you've ever taken a drive into the country on a fishing trip or just doing sightseeing, you can always tell where the river is by the trees, because there is always a row of trees lining the edge of the river, always. And the reason for that is that the trees near the river's edge get nourished from the river even when there is a drought in the rest of the land. The trees just go down deep beneath the river bottom and feed themselves on the nourishment and the water and the nutrients even when the surface looks dry and barren. They are able to stand tall because their roots go deep. Listen with me as Paul encourages the Colossian church to stand tall in Christ by letting their roots go deep in him. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power." Pray with me this morning as we examine this text with this thought in mind: complete in Christ. Complete in Christ. Let us pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank you once again for the privilege and opportunity of standing before these thy people. Lord, we pray now that the words of my mouth and that the meditation of all our hearts will be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Let the redeemed of the Lord say amen. Because trees are rooted in the ground, they don't have to go off searching for food and water and nourishment. It's all right there where they can get it. And because they are rooted, trees are not blown away by every passing wind. They're able to stand still. There were some ill winds of false doctrine blowing around the edges of Christianity when Paul wrote this letter to the Colossians. There were some false teachers called Gnostics who were claiming that there were other spirit beings that you could worship who had access to God just like Jesus. Paul exhorts the church to stand fast in Jesus Christ because he is the ruler of the entire creation. And the message that Paul brings home in this passage is a message that every Christian today needs to know and understand. God sent his son Jesus to complete you in every way that you need completing. You can stand whole and complete before God only by walking steadfast in Jesus Christ. Jesus has everything you need, and you cannot get what Jesus has for you anywhere else. Christians today need to understand that because there are ill wills of false doctrine blowing around today just as they were in Paul's day. And you need to stand fast in Christ so that you won't get blown around chasing false doctrine. You need to stand tall in Christ so that you can receive the fullness of what God has planned for you in Christ Jesus. How do you do that? How do we go about standing fast in Jesus? Well, life is a journey, and we're moving rather than standing still. So when we talk about standing fast in Jesus, what we're really talking about is walking steadfast in Jesus Christ. Let our walk be steadfast and constant in him. As we walk through this life journey, we need to maintain a steadfast walk with Jesus. But how do we do that? Well, the answer to that is in the text. So let's turn to the text to discover what are the essentials of walking steadfast in Christ. Looking at verse 6 again, it says, "As you have therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted, rooted. To walk steadfast in Christ, your roots must go down in him. To be rooted in Christ means that you have planted your hope in him. The faith and hope that calls you to seek out God in the first place is the faith that secures you right now in Jesus Christ. When your roots go down in Christ, it means that you trust your salvation entirely to Jesus. You believe the words that Jesus spoke to his first disciples when he said in John 14, 1, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In other words, you believe that the salvation of God resides wholly in Jesus, and you trust that. You're anchored in him. When your roots go down in Christ, you appreciate the fact that he paid dearly to secure your salvation. Christ paid dearly. And you recognize that the sacrifice that he made was because he loved you. As the Apostle John says, we love him because he first loved us. The love of Christ came first. It is the love of Christ that he has already shown for us that anchors us in him. Christ came to us. When we first knew about Christ, we realized that he had already loved us before we got here. When your roots go down in Christ, it means that you've committed your well-being to Jesus because you know that Jesus cares for you. As Peter says, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. When your roots go down in Christ, you're not shaken easily because you know that God will not let go of you. You know that God has you in the palm of your hand and he's going to keep you there. Storms may rise up all around you, don't despair, because you remember what Jesus said about his sheep. In John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. If your roots are deep in Christ, you can stand tall and weather any storm because you're anchored in the storm quencher himself. The same Jesus who stood in the midst of the Sea of Galilee and commanded the wind and the waves to be still is at your side to quench every storm that comes up in your life. If you just stay with him, if you just walk steady in him, to walk steadfast in Christ, you must let your roots go down in him. That's the start. That's where you need to start. But you need to be able to continue in him. Look at the text again. It says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him. To walk steadfast in Christ, you must let your life be built on him. Let your life be built on him. When you build your life on Christ, you learn to let go of the things that have held you back in the past. Paul had some great things in his past. He had some great achievements as a biblical scholar. He also had some major failings when it came to the church. He was a persecutor of the church. But he determined at this point to leave it all behind and just focus on reaching the high goal of standing complete in Jesus Christ. Look what he said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. When you let your life be built on Christ, you have to let go of some things that have held you back. You also have to let go of the idea of building your life around your possessions. If your life is built around the things you possess or the things that you hope to possess, it won't be built around Christ. No, it won't. Jesus warned of this as he answered a man who had asked him to settle the estate between him and his brother. In Luke chapter 12, verse 15, Jesus said, and he said to him, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Your life does not consist of how much you possess. So it doesn't make sense to try to gather all that you can, because that's not what life is all about from God's viewpoint. And then Jesus went on to tell the parable of the rich fool who built bigger and bigger barns so he could hold greater wealth. And then he died before he could spend what he had. And God called him a fool. When you build your life on Christ, you begin to establish the Lord's principles as your principles. And that means you have to listen to the Lord about what is valuable and what is not. When your value set begins to match the Lord's value set, then you are building your life on a solid, a solid foundation. Jesus explained this in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. He says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." You are building your life on a solid foundation when you build on the principles of Christ. And one more thing that will happen as you begin to build your life on Christ, you'll find that you may need to reestablish your human relationship based on your relationship with Christ. If your values change, then the motives behind your relationships may need to change too. If you build your life around Christ, the profit motive will have to take a back seat to love, because love is the prime directive of the Lord. Look at what he said in John chapter 15, verse 12. Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do whatever I command you." To walk steadfast in Christ, you must let your life be built on him. But when you begin to do that, when you step forward and build your life on Christ, some things will be easier than you thought, because the Lord will strengthen you as you go along that way. You won't have to do that job alone. All you have to do is listen to the word that the Lord has given you. Look at the text again. "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught." To walk steadfast in Christ, you must let your faith be strengthened by him. Let your faith be strengthened by him. And our faith is strengthened by Christ when we allow his teachings to come alive in our lives. When we live the word that we read, our faith will be strengthened. When we live the word instead of giving lip service to the word, our lives will be strengthened and blessed. Listen to James' advice. James says in James 1:22, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." And then he goes on in verse 25 and says, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." If we live by the word Christ has given us, our lives will be fruitful and not frustrated. Fruitful and not frustrated. And Jesus said that fruitfulness follows faithfulness. Fruitfulness comes after faithfulness. Look at what he said in John 15 and 7. "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." If we begin to live by the word will go down into our souls and fix our real problems instead of the surface problems that we try to cover up everything with. There's some real problems that we need to address that's down beneath our surface. And we don't get to them because we cover it up with our facade and our look. But the word of God gets right down to where the real problem is. Look at what the Hebrew writer said in 4 and 12. "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The word of God has the ability to get down where we live, down into our hearts, if we let it. If we begin to live by the word that we've been taught, it will increase our joy in the Lord. It will increase our joy. Paul said later on in Colossians 3:16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." To walk steadfast in Christ, you must let your faith be strengthened by him. And you do that by walking and living in his word. And finally, as you walk in the word of the Lord, and as he sends his grace and his joy into your life, what does the Lord expect you to do? What does he expect for you to do in response to what he has already done for you? Look at the text again. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Abounding in it with thanksgiving. To walk steadfast in Christ, you must let your thanksgivings go forth to him. You must let your thanksgiving overflow back towards God. If we are busy thanking God, it's hard for us to have a pity party. It's hard for us to, you know, to feel so much self-pity for ourselves. It's hard to keep a negative attitude when you consider the fact that you're part of God's glorious plan. God's plan. No matter what's going on with you, if you're part of God's plan, you can rejoice. Even through times of distress, God can give you joy if you just receive it from him. Listen to what Peter said in 1 Peter 4:12. He said, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." If we're busy thanking God, it's hard to give God's credit to someone else or to something else, like luck, or like your own wisdom, or like astrology. Some people thank the stars. If we acknowledge God as the source of our blessings and make a regular habit of thanking him, we won't be led astray by false doctrine. We'll be too busy communicating with God. And when you're communicating with God, you cannot be led astray. If we abound with thanksgiving, thanksgiving to God, it'll be real hard for the devil to lead us astray. That is the warning that Paul was delivering to the church both then and now. Verse 8, he says, "Beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." When you're busy thanking God, you won't be easily led astray by the tradition of men, by the deceit of the devil, or by human philosophy, or by worldly logic. None of that stuff will be able to lead you astray. God gave all of himself to us in Christ Jesus. So we need to overflow. We need to abound. We need to rejoice in thanksgiving to God for sending Jesus Christ our way. Verse 9 says, "For in him dwells all the fullness of God bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power." To walk steadfast in God's ways, you must give thanks to God. And if you don't keep thanking him, you won't keep walking with him. No, you won't. If you forget to thank God, you forget to walk with him. But if you keep thanking him and keep thanking him, keep bringing to your mind, you'll keep walking with him. To walk steadfast in Christ, you must let your thanksgiving go forth to the Lord. Make that a continual thing. And so now we return to the question with which we began. What are the essentials of walking steadfast in Christ? To walk steadfast in Christ, you must let your roots go down in him. You can't be a lip service Christian, or the first troubling wind that comes along will blow you away. You must have your roots planted firmly in Christ. To walk steadfast in Christ, you must let your life be built on him. Build your life around the things that God values, and the world will not be able to take away your joy. To walk steadfast in Christ, you must let your faith be strengthened by him. Strengthen yourself by the word of the Lord. The Lord said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away." To walk steadfast in Christ, you must let your thanksgiving go forth to him. Get busy thanking God, and then neither the world nor the flesh nor the devil will be able to get a hold on you. Elevate yourself out of the reach of evil by praising God continually. The world's in a terrible shape. There is evil all around, but we stand complete in Christ. We need to keep walking in him. The world in which we live seems to be coming apart at the seams. There is dysfunction all around, but we stand complete in Christ. We need to keep walking in him. And that's what I'm going to do. God gave all of himself to me in Christ, and I am complete in him. I stand complete in Christ. I still have troubles in my life, but I stand complete in Christ. Christ overcomes all my troubles and gives me the victory over every problem that I bring to him. I stand complete in Christ. I still have a sin nature. I was born with a sin nature, like everyone else who has come into this world as the seed of Adam. But I now stand complete in Christ. I can say like Paul, the good that I want to do, I don't do that. And the evil that I don't want to do, that's what I end up doing. Oh, wretched man that I am, Who will deliver me from this body of sin? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, who has given me the victory. I serve the law of God with my spirit. Even though my flesh wants to go a different way, I can serve God with my spirit because of Jesus Christ. I stand complete in Christ. I may not be perfect, but I stand complete. And I am not perfect. I still sometimes have a troubled mind, a fearful heart, and a mean spirit. But with all of that, I stand complete in Christ. How can that be? Well, it's through the power of Jesus Christ, my Lord. The Lord calms my troubled mind and gives me a peace that surpasses all understanding. The Lord strengthens my fearful heart and gives me a faith that allows me to face giants and win the victory. The Lord overrides my mean spirit and gives me his Holy Spirit, and I'm able to love with a greater love than I ever thought was possible. I may not be perfect, but I am complete in Christ, and I'm going to keep walking in Christ. I still have troubles in my life, but I stand complete in Christ. I'm going to keep walking in Christ. The world is in trouble, but I stand complete in Christ, and I'm going to keep walking in him. I stand complete in Christ. I'm going to keep walking in him. What about you? What about you? Will the congregation now stand as the choir comes to sing for us? In just a moment, we're going to give an altar call for prayer. But right now, I want the entire congregation to stand and reflect in your heart how deep your roots are in the Lord. How deep are they? How can you get them deeper? How much you're building your life on Christ? How much you're being strengthened by the word of God, and how much thanksgiving that you are letting flow back to God. The challenge is to let your roots go down. See how deep you can let your roots go into the Lord, and watch the Lord return to you 100-fold. Begin by having a thankful heart. That's where it all begins. And as you thank the Lord, he begins to refresh you and renew you and strengthen you. Every time you feel a complaint or a gripe rising up in your spirit, see if God won't give you the rest that you seek if you take it to him. Jesus has already asked for that job. He said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You need to take all your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Choir continues to sing, and invite the entire church to come to the altar for prayer.